The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here, and it's time to take productivity to another level. End the summer strong by upgrading your growing business to the latest tech. This new season begins with up to 48% off top performance laptops like Bostro, taking performance to the next level with 12th gen Intel Core processors. You'll also save big on monitors, docks, mice, and more must-have accessories. Plus, get free shipping on everything. It's the perfect time to get ahead with powerful tech designed to stay motivated throughout the year and encourage collaboration and innovation among your team. Now, at special prices for a limited time only. Summer might be gone, but it's just the beginning. What's next for you? Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to save up to 48% on our latest technology.
Let's go.
This is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Ryan Leaf. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Who is this Dr. Dre?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Mom, it's the best rap album that will ever be.
Earlier on the show, Pac-12 network analyst Yogi Roth, Kansas head coach Lance Leopold, columnist for the MMQB, Andrew Brandt. Still to come from Prime Video's Samaritan, actor Javon Walton. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Ryan Leaf.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. Ryan Leaf filling in for Rich alongside my main men, TJ Jefferson.
Holler.
Michael Del Tufo.
Woo.
Chris Brockman.
Hoo-dee-hoo.
Had a great show so far. Talked a lot of things football, which is what we're smack dab in the middle of, college and pro football. Had some breaking news out of Jets camp. Talked to Andrew Brandt. And now our main man, Chris Brockman's got some headline news.
Let's do it.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, TJ.
Hi, Chris.
Ryan. Mike.
What's happening?
Everything good?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I was cracking.
All right, news of the day. In the NFL, we woke up this morning. Bears star linebacker Roquan Smith entering the final year of his rookie deal. He issued a very long statement stating his desire that he offered that he wants to be traded. Can't come to a new contract with the Bears. He's making about $9 million this year in his final, like I said, the final year of his rookie deal. Great player for Chicago. Bears GM Ryan Poles just talked. Said, quote, "My feelings for Roquan haven't changed at all. I love the kid, love what he said on the field. We've shown respect very early. I thought the offer showed to him the respect that he deserved." Added that they will have to do what's best for the team, of course, but my intention is to sign him. Disappointed and surprised that things have deteriorated to this level in the negotiations. Does not want to trade him, but didn't rule it out. His intention right now is to sign him to a contract extension. They can't trade this kid.
Well, I mean,
They can, but like they can't.
Especially with a guy with an expiring contract, right? If you do, you better get something huge in return, right?
Huge
in return. I don't feel like they got too much out of the Khalil Mack trade, right? I thought the Chargers won that one definitely in that scenario. So, yeah, you got to wonder, right? Allen Robinson now gone offensively. I would be hard pressed to name a ton of people on this roster, to be honest with you.
Yeah, outside of the quarterback, Roquan Smith.
I mean, Moody? Is there a guy named Moody on that team?
Yeah, I think there's Moody. I think the Bears are going to be, we're going to be looking at maybe the team picking first overall in the NFL draft next year if they're not too careful. It could go real bad for the Bears this year.
It could go real bad. I thought last year in the decision to hold on to Nagy and Ryan Pace, right? That scenario, it was almost like when they snuck into the playoffs as a 7 seed, remember, before getting obliterated by the Saints that year. That did them a disservice because it almost made management say, hey, I mean, we can't fire a guy that just went to the playoffs.
David Montgomery, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet. Those are your weapons. Those excite you guys?
Cole Kmet, I like him.
David Montgomery could be sneaky fantasy, TJ.
Yeah, definitely. I don't even think that's sneaky.
You know,
at this
I need.
Point.
You know, I. You know, for my new job here this fall, I'm going to need some help, kind of with some fantasy stuff. Are you my guy? Are you my guy? Are you my guy?
I mean, come on.
Are you both my guys to go to for this?
Got you. We can be your guys.
Look, the last time Brockman and I actually teamed up on fantasy football,
tell them what happened, TJ. Tell them what happened.
I didn't get credit for it, but they won the Alice in Chains.
Yeah, I don't give TJ a lot of credit, but he was there.
I was there.
Silent partner.
Yeah. Not so silent.
We won the Alice in Chains league. No big deal.
You know, it is what it is.
Just saying.
Well, why did
we're probably going to win it this year?
Are you gonna team up again?
Probably not, because you know.
Well, I don't know. It depends if the draft is in person. That was the last time the draft was in person.
Yeah,
that's true.
Is it going to be in person this year again?
Probably, but I won't go. I think Rich and Chris will do it.
Rich never goes.
That is a good point.
Because it's always the same night as the game day kickoff.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
So he can't go. Hey, maybe. TJ, the Cowboys signed a kicker. You excited?
Of course, because...
Did they actually sign one?
Yeah.
We lost multiple games last year because of poor kicking, so yes.
Who did they end up signing?
Brett Maher. Maher?
Didn't we already have Brett Maher?
He's back, right?
He's back on a one-year deal. Good luck.
All right. So, yeah, Ryan, we are your guys for fantasy, is, I guess, to make a long story short.
So, just you know... discerning from your expression, don't pick Brett Maher this year for fantasy kicker.
Oh, nobody said that.
Oh, okay.
No, definitely.
Well, never take the Cowboys. When was the last time you had a Chris Bonio? When was the last good kicker of the Cowboys?
I mean, look, Zuerlein, despite the fact that he missed more first quarter kicks than any kicker in history, wasn't bad last year. But we definitely lost a few games because he missed some kicks. So
how odd is it that an NFL franchise with 32 teams, they can't find a kicker? Teams can't find a kicker.
It's still amazing to me that we can't find 32 good quarterbacks.
Oh, what's that amazing? That one doesn't surprise me.
That's easy. That's it. Bro, I mean, this guy here can tell you more than me. It's the toughest position in sports, right?
It's crazy. I just thought about the what goes through the mind of a guy that's rushing the passer in comparison to what the guy's getting the snap, running the play on offense. Mm-hmm. I was watching the Tuck Rule, 30 for 30. Oh, the other night.
Called the snow game.
The Tuck Rule game, the snow game, yeah.
That game where Brady fumbled and they didn't call it.
Well, he didn't fumble. It's the rule.
He didn't fumble. It was the rule. They correctly interpreted the
semantics
rule.
Here.
No, it's not. It was. I didn't know that. I didn't know really how it was written. It's written that you have to tuck it back into your body before it can become a fumble, and he had not brought it back into his body yet.
So he fumbled.
It fit the rule. I would say it's a fumble, but that's not what the rule stated. The rule states you have to pull it back into your body and tuck it, and he never did that.
So then it was a fumble.
No, it was a pass. No, an incomplete pass.
Incomplete pass. The rule says for it to be a fumble, he has to have pump faked it
and then pulled
it back
in
and tucked it into his body.
That's a whole lot, man. And Charles Woodson got the ball. That's all I know.
It is. It's true. But that was the rule.
I mean, all I remember is Vinatieri making the kick.
It was written the way it was. I believe it should have been a fumble. Yeah. There was no way he was trying to complete a pass at that point. But the rule written at the time said the ball had to be tucked back into the body for it to become a fumble. And it never got there. Therefore, that's how you discern the rule. So it isn't a fumble.
Yeah,
New England wins. And it goes on, just so you know, TJ. I have no dog in the fight here. I mean, it's at all. It's just,
me either. I just saw what I saw.
Well, I mean, what you see, it looks like a fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like I saw Dez caught the ball and he, you know, the rule said he didn't.
The rule said he didn't. Yeah. I thought that was a touchdown too, but the rule said he didn't.
You ended up losing your game. We won ours.
Wow. Well,
true.
It was a fact.
True. I can't argue that.
You know, Brock was looking at me when he said it. I was like thinking, like, what was I? Was that what the Cowboys said?
No. Oh, by the way, did you bring your Cowboys jersey for me?
No, it's still up in Mom and Dad's closet.
Oh, okay.
I got to get it down here to you. You wanted, which one did you want? Do you want just the white, or do you want the throwback from Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. I like that one.
What was the point? You were watching the doc, and what happened?
I like that one.
I'm not off. What were we talking about? Kickers.
Kickers.
Quarterbacks.
Well, you were talking about just rushing the passer.
So,
the differences.
So Charles Woodson's talking about what he had to do on that play, right? He just inches in, and just goes. That's all he had to do. Right. Now, as a quarterback, you have to see what the coverage is. You got to see if there's a blitz coming. You got to tell. You got to see a rotation, catch the ball in a snowstorm.
Shift protection if you see the blitz coming.
Right. I mean, there's so much to your point around the quarterback you know, it's hard for you to imagine you can't find 32 great quarterbacks. But yeah, it's a different scenario. If I could put my hand in the ground and just ran after the quarterback, maybe.
Is it harder to find 32 good kickers or 32 good quarterbacks?
I would argue that it's harder to find 32 good quarterbacks.
Yeah, there's probably 30 good kickers.
I will say this, kicking though. I just have no, I have no, what's the word here?
No time,
no patience. I have no patience for kickers.
Are you like Peyton, the idiot kicker?
I hate, the kickers are so strange.
And when Peyton said that, by the way, about Mike Vanderjagt, he had the highest make best percentage kicker in NFL history. Right. And he called him an idiot kicker.
And we're talking about this idiot kicker.
I kickers remind me of goalies in hockey. They're just strange.
Yeah.
They're strange people.
Would you ever talk to the kicker?
I was a holder for a kicker for a long time, so okay. We were the battery. So, yeah, I had to develop a relationship with them. So, but for the most time, it's just like, he's like Chaz's mom from Wedding Crashers. You don't know, what's he ever doing back? You never see him.
Yeah. Right? What's he doing back there?
What's he doing back there, right? He's on the other field. He's kicking, moving his leg around. You know, and the next thing you hear, he's out on the golf course hitting a hole-in-one or something like that. You're like, what are you doing, man? You know, you're going to make me some meatloaf back there? What's going on? Let's get it done, right? Don't miss a kick. Don't miss a kick.
That's easier said than done, though, isn't it?
It is easier said than done, but that's all they have to do. That's all they have to do. There's nothing else they have to do. Nothing else.
That's it. You had one job.
One job.
Make the kick.
Make it.
Right?
Just see it. See the ball.
Laces out. That's your job as the holder, though.
If it gets blocked, if it's a hold scenario where it messes up, okay. There's a bit of understanding there. But no. You get your foot on the ball, it better go through the uprights. Like, if I was a general manager of a team, I may never find a kicker because I'd be firing one all the time. Ultimately.
Like Deion, just cut him.
Cut him. Just cut him.
Cut him.
Go. Or I'd be the guy that just, or I'd turn into Brandon Staley and I just go for it every down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't even employ him.
Pretty much what I would do. Unless I'm inside my own, like, 30, I think I'm just going for it every time.
You know, because points are so precious in the NFL, it's important to have a kicker. But like, if I'm a college coach, I'm never kicking.
You're like,
fourth down all day, all night. Punters are great. I love punters. They're a defensive specialist. That's what a punter is. He belongs on an all defensive team.
Like a change field position.
Yes, yeah, they are like a change agent of a football game. So,
but like, like you said, in college, like, why should you kick an extra point? Just go for two.
I don't understand it. Makes no sense.
Makes no sense. All right, guys. They had an emergency owners meeting to approve the sale of the Denver Broncos. Unanimously approved. So Rob Walton and a bunch of other famous people that you've heard of, Condoleezza Rice, Lewis Hamilton, among others. $4.65 billion for the Denver Broncos.
Pocket change.
Highest sale of an NFL team yet.
I tried to get in on this, but...
You tried to get in on this?
Yeah. I said, can I put 10 grand in? And they said, no. There's a lot of people that have asked for investment stuff for, like, you know, for little things. And a $10,000 investment, it works. It didn't this time.
If you had given Zuckerberg $10K back in the day, bro. Whew.
I'd give him $10.
Hold on. How much would what percentage of $4.65 billion would $10,000 have gotten you? 0.00002%
So I'd be part owner of the Denver Broncos.
Worth it. I think that would be cool.
You know, but ultimately it came down to I'm not a huge fan of Walmart, and that's why I chose not to do it.
Wow.
So
love Walmart. The Browns have said
they chose not to allow.
They passed on your 10 grand.
I also don't know if I passed the background check either. So that's another thing in all of this.
Guessing not.
Yeah.
The Browns revealed that they're not going to reveal if Deshaun Watson's going to play on Friday against Jacksonville, the team's first preseason game. Apparently, they do have a plan for the quarterbacks, but they're not talking about it publicly. Seems like Jacoby Brissett should probably play most of the game, right?
We just had this conversation, right? Why is he even there?
It's so ridiculous. Jason Kelce underwent elbow surgery. He's back on a one-year deal with Philadelphia. He's 35 years old, so not sure how much time he's going to miss, if he might miss the opener. But obviously you don't have your center. That's a big deal. What else we got? TJ, we were talking about Juju Smith-Schuster the other day.
Mm-hmm. Juju on the beat.
Peter King saying that when he was at Chiefs camp, Juju's lining up all over the place.
Tried to tell you.
After spending about 80% of the snaps in the slot the last 2 years in Pittsburgh, he's given more chances out wide like earlier in his career. Could he be a replacement for Tyreek Hill?
Well, I don't know if he could be a replacement, but I think there's a plethora of players that are going to have to be a replacement. I just assume if you look at the allocation of catches last year, it's going to be similar. Patrick Mahomes is not going to throw less, right? He's going to complete as just as much.
Not going to throw less.
Right, he's not going to throw less. But what's going to happen is it's just going to be spread around more. We're going to see Sky more, see if he can be an influence early on. Hardman, can he do something? Right, and then you're talking about Travis Kelce going to be an even bigger part of what they're doing. I have no the AFC, everybody. I don't care what anybody says about Buffalo or Denver or the Raiders or the Chargers or Miami or anybody. The AFC is still going through Kansas City.
Oh, interesting.
Until it doesn't, I'm not going to say it is. Right, last 4 years, where's the AFC championship been?
Arrowhead.
Now, hey, New England had to get through there and get it done, Cincinnati was able to do it a year ago.
Yeah.
But until it changes, until I see something different, I believe it still goes through Arrowhead and the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see how that plays out.
All right, another big story we haven't talked about yet, guys, but it was revealed this morning. Serena Williams talking about hanging it up finally. She wrote an article, a first-person essay in Vogue, suggesting that the U.S. Open could be her final tournament. Added she had mixed feelings about the next chapter. Didn't even like using the word retirement. But it's something that she's finally thinking about. And this might be it for Serena, who's obviously one of the GOAT athletes, male or female, in our lifetime.
Greatest female tennis player of all time.
Argument greatest tennis player.
Arguable greatest tennis player of all time.
If this is it for Serena, how do you guys feel about having watched her whole career, TJ? Obviously one of the best.
I mean, we got to witness greatness from a young age, right? When did Venus Serena kind of come into our consciousness? They were not even, they were 10?
They were kids.
They were kids.
I think this is Serena's 27th year on the women's tour.
Yeah, man. So, you know, you got to watch these young girls from Compton come up, and we all knew about the dad, right? And we knew about Richard, and we kind of thought that this guy was just loud, but then you realize that there was a method to this man's madness, man. And looking back at it, the way he was really protecting and guiding these girls when everyone else was kind of coming down on him, but he had a vision. And look, it came to fruition.
Yeah, you know? Did it. I mean, it was...
It came to fruition.
Spectacular.
Not only... I mean, he had two of the greatest female athletes of all time growing up in Compton, California, 20 minutes down the road from here, in a sport where girls, we talked to MJ Acosta Ruiz yesterday and kind of talked about, you know, what having her in her position is doing for girls that look like her. Right. So you imagine two girls like Venus and Serena who look like them in a sport where there aren't a lot of people that do look like them. And not only did you make it, you didn't just make it, you dominated. Like you went to the top of the food chain. And it's an amazing thing to watch, man. It was amazing to watch. I hope we get to watch her a little bit longer, but if she decides to walk away, what more can she do?
Well, you know, what a cool thing it would be if she found a way to...
One last final run?
Win that U.S. Open. And then amazing. that would be the send-off, right? I mean, we've seen it before.
And by the way, Brockman, the hotel we... I always forget this. The hotel we stayed at in Miami.
The Delano.
Delano. I was in the Delano probably 10 years ago. Probably longer than that. And Serena was by the pool. And I'm not just saying this. She was in the bikini by the pool. But I'm just saying this was a case where you're looking at a supreme athlete. And just looking at this woman, the muscles, the shape, the form of her body, it was just like it is amazing to sit and look at something, someone built like that. For as great as she is and the power and the strength and the grace that she brings to the game, it was almost like looking at a statue, bro. Oh, yeah. Like straight up, like you were in awe of this woman.
And I think that, you know, what, not to be remiss in the importance of Venus in this conversation. Yeah, yeah. She was the trailblazer.
Yeah, she Serena, was first. The big and then sister. Richard Williams was always like, look, no, the younger sister's better.
Right. It's kind of almost like LeVar.
Yeah.
In a way, you know, LeVar was loud and got on people's nerves, but he put 2 of 3 in the NBA, and he said the younger one was going to be the best one, and he looks like he's probably right about that. So,
well, it worked in the Leaf household, too. The third Brady Leaf is the best of the three, so that's for darn sure. All righty. When we come back, something pretty cool. In-studio guest Javon Walton from Euphoria fame and his new film,
Samaritan. Ashtray, let's go.
Ashtray joining us next here on the Rich Eisen Show when we come back.
Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show here. I'm Ryan Lee, filling in for Rich. How many times have you seen the trailer now?
Oh, my God. Right? I've seen it a lot. And every time I see it, I'm like, dang, I look so young in that. It's crazy.
How old were you? We're speaking with Javon Walton from the new movie Samaritan. How old were you when you filmed this?
I was, I think I was 13 when I was filming it.
Was that before the Euphoria?
Yeah. Yeah, it was before that. So I filmed the first season of Euphoria, right?
Right.
And then filmed other stuff. And then later that year, I was filming Samaritan in like the midst of all of COVID and all of that stuff. So it was like, it was a process, like trying to get that all to work out. So
Samaritan launches globally on Prime Video Friday, August 26th. We're speaking with Javon Walton, the star of that film. I walked away from it. You know, when you have somebody like Sly Stallone in a role there, but this story is about you. It's a backdrop of the superhero aspect, but it's about you and you growing up and having to fight dark and light and how to become that. I thought it was incredibly interesting that you know, you kind of took the lead through this process and made it your own in your first feature film.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was amazing to be able to work with Sly on my very first film like that, you know, very first feature film. So that was great. Me and him had a special bond on set too. We'd always argue about boxing and who's gonna win this, who's gonna win that. So yeah,
the boxing aspect of things, I mean, you're 16, right? Rocky, I'm sure you've seen and everything like that. What was it like to be a part of a cast like that where you had an individual who's so iconic in the boxing world, because it's what you do and what you do well too?
I think it was for sure special. You know, not many people say that they could be working with Sly and to be able to work with him on another level is just dope. You know, we really built a bond between each other, and it was good to be able to like talk boxing with people. You know, I never been able to like really talk boxing on set, so it was nice to be able to have that. You know.
And then the opportunity, any of you who will get a chance to watch the film, no spoilers here or anything, but there's a scene where you are up on the roof with him and you get to kind of showcase some of those boxing skills. Yeah, how quick, I mean, I was so impressed how quick you were in that instance. But your character really isn't, you don't really want to fight, but
No. You
are very capable.
No, yeah. No, you'll see like a little sneak peek of all that, you know, and on the rooftop.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. So Euphoria fans out there, if anybody watches the HBO series Euphoria, it's incredibly nuanced in terms of following a group of, you know, high school kids really through, you know, the difficult times in the drug world that goes on. And your character, right, is a guy that is surrounded in secrecy, really. We don't know much about him, but we just know how loyal he is and what it means to him to be a protector. And we see it, how it played out in the finale last year. I think there's conversation around, is Ashtray really dead? Is he no longer there? Where can we see this character if not moving forward?
You know what? I honestly, I got no clue. And like, I'm not just saying that just to say that, cause I can't, I really got no clue. You know, it's a bit crazy, but Euphoria has such an amazing fan base. And I feel like a lot of teenagers, older teens, can relate to it on another level. Not, of course, as intense, but, you know, like take bits and pieces away from it. And
well, being 16, I mean, you know, you have to be probably one of the younger actors on the show. And, you know, the topic is, I think, important. Mm-hmm. But as somebody who lives in a time where kids are learning and developing and figuring out these things, what has been the biggest takeaway from you, from the fan base of your age, who may have who may see this as ways to be educated and learn how to do things better?
Oh, man. That was a good question, though. I think, like, so basically, like, what kids can take away from it, right? Yeah. I think, like, the main thing kids can take away from it is there's a lot going on in the world, you know, and a lot of stuff that, and a lot of concerns that you don't need to be worrying about yet, you know? There's, like, I feel like you're extra sensitive at this age, you know, especially like kids, and it's a vulnerable time, and if you can just find your happiness within this time, and, you know, staying grounded and
be a kid.
Yeah, be a kid. You know, really just about being a kid at this age.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I
shouldn't stress anything else.
Yeah, if I could go back with any of that stuff when I was your age, it's just everything that happened felt like the end of the world, right?
Right. Yeah. You know? I feel like a lot of kids get caught up in that, you know? So if you can just enjoy the moments you have, because you're going to regret not enjoying it when you get older, you know? So you gotta enjoy your childhood. You can't let all that stuff get to you.
How have you stayed grounded with all this early success? I think, you know, you probably speak to the boxing aspect of thing to keep you kind of a focus, but how have you stayed grounded with your success at 16?
Well, I think one of the most humbling things is boxing, because people will test you on another level when you're fighting, you know? So boxing definitely plays a big portion in that. And I think just like the way I've just grown up in general, you know, like for a while I was living on 15 acres with goats and chickens, and it was like, you know, and like I've kept the same friends, you know, I haven't switched up on anybody, and I've been keeping the same people that have been loyal to me since day one, you know, and I really think that's really important, you know, to keep that.
Well, I think this is probably pretty cliche, but you know, show me your friends and I'll show you your future is a really good adage to, and it took me a while to figure that out, because I think for the longest time I surrounded myself with people who told me yes all the time.
Right.
Who weren't willing to like show me the mirror, because we don't necessarily
100%.
See.
You want people to be like, no, that's like, you know, like you want people there for you and not there to just say stuff to make you feel happy. You know, like you want people that are going to be real, people that are going to better you as a person, you know? So friends can either make you amazing and great and take you very far, or they can ruin you.
Yeah.
You know?
Support is a huge factor in all this. We're speaking with Javon Walton, star of the new film Samaritan, that will be coming out globally on Prime Video August 26th. Check it out. I saw it last night. What's next, right? What's next for you? What do you got on deck for Javon?
So I've been focusing a lot on boxing recently. You know, I got some stuff in the works in the acting world, you know, some really cool stuff that I can't wait to talk about. I'm excited about that, but that's going to have to stay a secret for a little bit longer. But really just the boxing world, man. I've been really honing in on that. Want to get to 100 bouts and, you know, yeah.
What, I know that the Olympics is something that you are pointing to, right? 2024.
That was the goal for a while, and I'm not gonna lie, like winning a gold medal could be amazing. You know, I've wanted that since a young age, but I really think my path and where I'm at in this moment in time is going pro at 18. I really think that's what I want to do, and I want to accomplish a lot in the pro game and show people my ability and showcase that on another level.
Well, that's wonderful. It's I love to see the ambition at such a young age, and then your ability to listen and interpret and make the right choices.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Who do you, you know, speaking about the boxing aspect of things, do you model yourself after, your style after anybody, that somebody that you looked up to growing up?
Not really. You know, there's like certain bits and pieces I'll take away from certain fighters, and I'm like, oh, I love the way he does this. I love the way he does that. And really, Manny Pacquiao's footwork, is something that I've always loved, man, and how quick he is on his feet, you know. And primetime Pac-Man, nobody could beat him, you know. So I definitely take away things from him, but I definitely got my own style.
All righty. Javon Walton, everybody, from the new film Samaritan, out on Prime Video globally, August 26th, joining us here in studio. Thanks for taking the time today.
Of course.
We'll be right back here on The Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Lee filling in for Rich. We'll see you in a few minutes. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to The Rich Eisen Show. Ryan Leaf here filling in for Rich alongside TJ Jefferson, Michael Del Tufo, Chris Brockman. Just had Javon Walton on set here. That's pretty cool. You know, that's my first, well, I guess it isn't my first in studio. Kevin Connolly was my first, but that was kind of like,
the first person you didn't know.
I didn't know him, you know. And
Ashtray's a cold, it was a cold dude on Euphoria, man. That kid was no joke.
I don't want to spoil anything. I mean, if you're a Euphoria fan, you've seen it. The final episode, right?
Oh,
where this kid, like, is, I mean, his character is a very young man who has grown up in the drug trade and worked alongside his essentially his older brother, right?
More or less.
And in the finale, when they've been ratted out by a fellow, you know, guy in the trade. Ashtray was having none of it.
No, he was ready for war.
He was ready for war. He was ready for war. He's also in season three of on the Umbrella Academy on Netflix.
I would say this, Ryan, if you take Tommy DeVito, Joe Pesci from Goodfellas, you make him like a younger guy, but set in like today's world, you'd probably have that Ashtray mentality, like a kid who just don't care about tomorrow and is down for whatever, man.
No, he was, right? There's conversation piece out there around the idea of whether or not his character is really gone or not. Yeah. You know, by all means, it looked like
I don't see how he's not.
He was. If you have a chance, go check it out. Also, his new film Samaritan with Sylvester Stallone out again globally on Prime Video August 26th. Got a chance to watch it last night. Anything with superheroes. I'm a big superhero film guy, like, you know, Marvel, DC Comics, any of those types of things.
You've been watching The Boys?
Yeah, been watching The Boys.
You know who Brockman loves?
Love The Boys.
Who?
Take a guess. Who's the worst person on The Boys?
Homelander.
Yeah, Brockman loves Homelander.
It's a great character.
It's a great character.
It's a great character.
I hate Homelander.
Worst person ever.
He's the worst. Out of Soldier Boy might.
No, you bring his papa in there. You bring Soldier Boy into the conversation.
Soldier Boy's actually worse than Homelander.
It's a different conversation.
They're both awesome.
Freakish.
It's such a great show. That guy Anthony Starr plays Homelander. He got screwed, man. He should have been nominated for an Emmy. He's incredible.
They're so good.
It's so good. The Boys is a great show.
It is a great show. What was it? Herogasm?
Yeah.
Herogasm.
I saw things in there that I particularly don't care to see
anymore.
Imagine
sitting in the writer's room.
You can't even describe it.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, I won't. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
Don't.
You
please
imagine
don't.
Being in the writer's room, going through that process?
It's just like anything crazy you could possibly think of. They're like, cool, let's use that.
Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Let's roll
Why
with
don't
that.
We do that?
And then
we'll
explode their head when it's all said and done.
Oh, God.
Let's have a guy who can shrink down really small and
stop.
Put him places.
Just go anywhere, right? It's
Ant-Man
in the X-rated version.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes, that's the best way to
best
put
way
it.
To describe
yeah.
it.
But yes, Samaritan out on Prime Video here, August 26th, Javon Walton.
That kid's got a great future, man. It seems like his head's on straight. Yeah. You know, his mom was there with him.
I mean, I asked him some questions about, you know, around what, you know, the importance of what he's doing and what it means and where his head is at with all of it. And so, you know, for somebody who I had a moment, an opportunity to speak with his mom here during the break. And she talked about just the world they grew up in. Mm-hmm. He's a twin. I didn't know that.
Oh,
either.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. He's a twin. He's got a younger sister who's, I think, 8, she said. So, I mean, he's been born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. And continues to do great things. Pretty cool to be up alongside Sly Stallone. I had an opportunity to meet Stallone when I was working out at this gym here in L.A. He'd pop in from time to time and be part of it. He told us the secret to looking jacked on film is you only work out, you know, three parts of your body. You work your tries, your buys, and your back, pretty much shoulders. That's all he would ever do, pull-ups, everything like that. No need to look at his legs at any point in film, you know. That's how he's extended it. And it's fun to watch him. It's funny to see him in this role because it's, you just know him as iconic as Rocky, right? Mm-hmm. There's a bit of Rocky in it, in him, in the way he goes about his business with Javon in this role. So, all right, that was last segment. We are about to finish the show here. We're in our last segment. Want to kind of get back to the NFL side of things. In your news of the day, in the first segment of the show, we just couldn't quite get to the Jameis Winston injury yesterday too.
Yep.
The conversation around that, what that means for the New Orleans Saints, right? Moving away from Sean Payton as head coach. Jameis Winston coming back from the injury, signing with his team again this year. Dennis Allen taking over. They have had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers number in the regular season, right? Tom Brady's 0-4 in the regular season against this New Orleans Saints team. Now, most important piece in all this, he got the one win that he needed in the playoff game, right? So, with the additions at wide receiver, Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave, and Michael Thomas making the return, Alvin Kamara, offensively, we know how good they are defensively. Jameis Winston, what was 5-2 last year before his injury took over. What is this team like with Jameis Winston at the helm? Do they have a real shot of fighting the Bucs for the division? And without him, is it going to be a real difficult year in Dennis Allen's first season? That's the biggest question in all this. The more I hear about the injury, it sounds like it's just a sprained ankle. Glad it happened early. He wasn't probably going to play much in the preseason. I think the consistency, it reminds me a ton of what happened in Buffalo where Brian Daboll went to the Giants. They promoted and kept Ken Dorsey on staff as the new offensive coordinator. Of course, he's going to make it his own, but there's going to be a familiarity for Josh Allen. Same in New Orleans, right? Coach Carmichael, who's been there, who's been with them, who knows what Sean Payton has been able to do. Now, hey, don't get me wrong. Sean Payton may be the most dynamic schemer and play caller there was over the last decade in the NFL. Some of the things he's been able to do with a depreciating item and Drew Brees later in his career and doing some of the things he does with Alvin Kamara. That's a big part of, I think, the success for Jameis Winston, that consistency and what this team looks like. Over the next few days, I kind of want to go through maybe some predictions and where we think the conferences, divisions in particular, are going. But to end the show, you know, fortuitously wearing the Los Angeles Chargers sweater today, hoodie. Let's talk about this division a little bit. We did a little exercise yesterday around the Jimmy Garoppolo conversation. You know, whether he's going to be somewhere else, whether he's going to be in San Francisco. But if you were a fan of your favorite team and you had the opportunity to trade for your quarterback straight up right now for Jimmy Garoppolo, would you do it? Regardless of cap implications, anything, I don't want to get into any of that. If you were willing to trade your quarterback you have now in place to start the season with Jimmy Garoppolo, would you do it? And I honestly came to the conclusion there may be 8-9 teams out there that it would be an upgrade for them. Is that something you guys see as well? Is Jimmy Garoppolo a guy that...
Well, what are the teams?
Let's go. There isn't any in the AFC West. Wouldn't trade him for one guy in the AFC West, right?
Nope.
How about in his own division, right?
Yeah, he's an immediate upgrade in Seattle. I think there's no question about that. He would go in there, and I don't know if they'd be a playoff team at all, but they're not going to be fighting for a top five pick with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, I think, in Seattle. Arizona, I'd rather have Kyler Murray. Obviously, I'd rather have Matthew Stafford.
Clearly, they in San Francisco want Trey Lance, but I right now would take Jimmy Garoppolo over Trey Lance because I don't know what I get out of Trey Lance yet.
And I'm in that camp as well, but obviously they made a decision. They made the decision on draft night last year when they decided to, or before when they made the trade with Miami to move up. And then they made the decision to draft him. You know, Jimmy G's writing was on the wall.
What's the chance that Jimmy G stays in San Francisco this year?
Seemingly zero. It's full Butarski. I mean, they basically already have given him permission to seek a trade. Everything they've been saying publicly in the last couple of weeks leads you to believe he's not going to be on the team come week one.
If you don't find a trade, when you make a statement like that,
He's just going to be deactivated. I mean,
you're ultimately, he's going to be released then. I think our team's waiting for him to be released.
I guess. I mean, look, because if you trade for him, you're on the hook for the $25 million. So
yeah,
you might as well just wait for the Niners to cut him, and then you can just sign him for whatever.
If they don't get something worthwhile in a trade, does San Francisco hold on to him for that resource as a backup quarterback in case Trey Lance gets hurt?
I mean, it's great insurance.
It's a pretty penny insurance policy.
But it's kind of like what New England did. Like at one point, Jimmy G was going to make more than Tom Brady, and he's your backup. You can't have your backup quarterback making more than your starter. It's just bad optics. So he's going to get released at some point.
All right. Well, who knows where he may land? Let's keep bouncing around in some different places. How about the AFC East? It's not in New England, not in Buffalo. I could argue New York and Miami would be a step up in those positions. That's why I always thought Miami might be a landing spot with Mike McDaniel in that offense. I think that's
I still think Miami's holding out for Tom Brady, to be honest. Like, it's really up to Tua this year. If he's not good, or if he struggles like he has in the last couple of seasons, what is their incentive to keep him when you know that?
Oh, no, there isn't any. I said this, especially after they went out and got Tyreek Hill, right, with Jalen Waddle.
They're stacked. They're ready to win. They have so excuse. Much talent.
Yeah, there's no excuse at the end of this year if that's the case. Now, the only excuse I could hear coming from anybody, maybe in that side of the camp, is, you know, year one under Mike McDaniel's offense. You know, what does that look like? What does that mean? We'll see. All right, let's go to the AFC South. Let's go Indianapolis. Matt Ryan, I think, is a solid position there, especially the kind of offense they run with the play action.
They can win that division with Matt Ryan.
How about Tennessee? Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis. Nope, I don't think that's a step up.
No, I don't think so.
Let's jump to Jacksonville. You got a rookie quarterback?
Nah, Trevor Lawrence is the man.
He's the man. But if you were to say right now, without any implications of like future stumbling for Trevor Lawrence, would you trade for this quarterback right now? Jimmy Garoppolo would be a step up, I think, for Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville right now. Houston, Davis Mills.
I think Davis Mills is good too.
So do I. That's an interesting division with two quarterbacks kind of aging, where you have two younger guys that have a lot of optimism and interest moving forward.
I think the team for me, let's just go to the NFC South. I think the team for me, we were just talking about them, is New Orleans. You don't know what you're getting out of Jameis. I mean, he's played 11 games in the last 2 years because of injuries, decision making. I mean, he had 30 interceptions his last full year in 2019. You throw Jimmy G in that offense with Alvin Kamara, if he's back, whatever his legal situation is, and then the three wide receivers that you talked about before with Jarvis Landry and Chris Olave and Michael Thomas, who we talked about yesterday, that could be a playoff team with Jimmy G leading the Saints offense. TJ, what do you think about that?
So you think Jimmy G's better than Jameis?
He's been better than Jameis.
He's been better than Jameis for a while now,
yeah.
Right?
Has he?
He's been to a Super Bowl and an NFC Championship.
Yeah, well,
Jameis can't get off the couch.
Has he or has the team been there? So we go back to this like quarterback thing.
I'm saying Jameis hasn't played in 2 years.
He played last year, though.
Played seven games.
He had 16 touchdowns and three picks, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it was incredible. It was incredible.
He played fantastic.
I'm in a little disagreement with Chris here. I don't think that's a step up in New Orleans with Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, I definitely not. Look, Jameis, you know, he had that 30-pick season, but if you watch a lot of those...
He also had 30 touchdowns that year.
He also had 30 touchdowns, and what if you take away some of those picks, which, you know, some were bad plays, obviously. Some were receivers running wrong routes. I can't speak on this as well as you can, but I don't think all 30 of those were necessarily his fault, right? Well,
but they're on him.
They're on him. You're right.
You're right. And that's carry with him in bullet points. And when we're talking about things, that's a big part of it. So, Atlanta, I would take him over Marcus Mariota. In Tampa, no, not over Tom Brady, right? Carolina, over Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold right now?
I think so.
Maybe. I like Baker Mayfield. I like him. I think that Cleveland absolutely did him a complete disservice, and the chip on his shoulder is back once again. Unfortunately, Matt Rhule, and we discussed this earlier, I think is in a little bit of a lame duck year, and there's going to be a lot on him to win. And what does that look like? So, all right, before we get out of here, though.
14-3 for Jameis, not 16.
Yeah, close though. Chargers, Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders. Best division in football?
No question.
Right?
Hands down.
Best four quarterbacks in division? Easily.
Yep, easily.
Play each other twice a year? Is this a scenario where they just beat the hell out of each other and the product's diminished? Or is this iron sharpens iron and we have a division that produces three playoff teams like we've seen from, you know the NFC,
NFC West.
West last year.
Yeah. I think so. I think three playoff teams are coming from this division. I think Denver ends up being the kind of the odd man out when it's all said and done. I think I still call him Oakland, Mike. Las Vegas, the Chargers, and the Chiefs end up making the playoffs.
Is this the year that the Chargers get over the top, finally, in this division?
It's a question I had yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out to camp here in a week or so.
I think so. Justin Herbert can win MVP. Yep. I think he's going to take them pretty far.
He's incredible. I got the privilege to play golf up at Bandon Dunes with him
nice.
A couple weeks ago. And, you know, for a guy that is arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, continues to be so down to earth. His teammates love him. His work ethic is spectacular. We played, I think, we played 49 holes of golf one day. We had a lot of fun. We'll talk more about this division tomorrow when we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Everybody, thanks for listening. Appreciate you welcoming back. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, boy.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.